Exactly. So I wanted to touch on something that's a little bit off topic, but it's right here, and it's such an interesting topic. And that is in this little exchange that we had over here between Rav Chisda and Rami Bar Chama. We'll get back to the Tamar Mitzvah Hashem, to the Vega, Zenana, Zevo Chaser. But in the middle of this Gemara, something important happened. Rami Bar Chama missed the day in the base medrash. Rav Chisda told him, we discussed this fascinating shagot about Zenana v'zelo chaser. One person squatting in someone else's apartment that wasn't for rent. He didn't lose any rental income, but this one benefited. Does he have to pay? So he said, what are you talking about? Rami Bar Chama said, I have a Mishnah. So he said, what Mishnah? He said, what Mishnah? L'chita shamishli. First, do me a taiva. Do something for me, a personal favor. And then I'll tell you. So he did him. He tied his sudar, put on his hat or something, got his hat and coat. And then Rami Bar Chama told him it was our Mishnah about the animal that eats produce from Mishus HaRabim, even though he doesn't have to pay for the damages because of Mishus HaRabim, but he does have to pay Mashen Enes here too. Since you benefited, you would be obligated to pay. That was the opinion of Rami Bar Chama. However, we asked, what is this whole little funny exchange about that he made him do him a taiva? He made him his intern in order before he told him the Mishnah. So he said, what kind of thing is that? What happened to, teaching Torah, without any preconditions? Why did he first ask him to do this service? So he said, Rav Shimon Shkup explained that it was in order to demonstrate that he took him seriously, because otherwise the proof wasn't going to mean anything to him. So only when you mechabed me, you take me seriously, then will my words have an effect on you. We said, there surely is truth to that. However, the problem is over here, look at the Gilyan Hashas, and the Rabbi Kiva Eger says, Ayin Mishnah L'melech Paragimah Mehoch Savadim L'Ocheches. Oftentimes we see these things, we don't bother looking it up. But here the Mishnah Lamech has a fascinating ha'ara. He says, one minute, Rav Chisda was a kohen. How was Rami Bar Chama allowed to ask Rav Chisda to do this favor for him? One is not allowed to use kohanim for their own personal benefit. What is that based upon? It's based upon a pasuk in Parashas Emor, which Gemara cites in Masechtas Gittin. Primarily. Pasuk says in Parashas Emor, right after the Torah tells us all the people that the kohen cannot marry, a grusha, Azoyna v'chalala. So the pasuk says, "V'kidash tokias lechem alokecha humakriv." You should make him holy because he does the service of a kadosh baruch hu in the Beis Hamikdash. So from that pasuk, that the kahanim do the service in the Beis Hamikdash, and therefore they're deserving of honor. V'kidash to kias lechem alokecha humakriv. The Gemara Maseches Gittin Adaf Nitesmet Aleph has a series of halachas that we derive from that. So the Gemara says, "Kayin kayin rishon." Va'achrav Levi, Va'achrav Yisrael. First you call it, no, Kohanim here? No.
Tani's
Kohanim. I've understood that today. It's good to not hear. We'll talk about them other night here. How should we treat them? So Kohen, Kohen Rishon, you call him first, Va'achrav Levi, after that, Levi, Va'achrav Yisrael. After that, Yisrael, Mivnei Darkei Shalom. This is only to keep everybody happy, because you have to split it up. If you're only going to call Yisraelim and no Levim and Kohanim, they'll get angry. If you're only going to call Kohanim and Levim, they'll get angry. And no Yisraelim, they'll get angry. What? The Gemara says, Tanit Be'er Bishmael. No, it's halacha. You have to call the Kohen first. V'kidash l'chol davar shebikdush l'vtoach rishon l'varach rishon v'litom anayof rishon. You have to give him the first aliyah, and you have to give him to bench, and he gets the best portion in the cafeteria. There should be one line for Yisraelim, one line for Kohanim. That's what there should be. That's hard for many people to understand and to internalize. But there's a difference. The Kohanim were treated differently. They should be in a different line, given different portions, given to bench first Aliyah, even though it's not fair, doesn't seem very democratic. But that's halacha. That's what you have to do. It's a fascinating varta. I should mention it. It's such a nice idea. Rav Zalman Soroskin says in last week's parasha, one of the karbonas they brought at the time of the Chanukah HaMishkan was they brought an egel, which of course the Mishnah, the Brisa says the Medrash was the mechaper for the Chet HaEgel, and the Mishkan was a kapar for the Chet HaEgel. We just talked about you. We didn't say bad things.
Not yet.
We waited for you for that. And the Mishnah, the Brisa says it was a kapar for the Chet HaEgel. But what other carbon did they bring at the time of Chanukah HaMishkan? They brought a series in. They brought a goat. What was the goat a kapar for? Anybody know? Chet Mechiras Yosef, where they dipped the cloak of Yosef in blood. Chet Mechiras Yosef, kapar now. Why are they having kapar now for Mechiras Yosef? Mechiras Yosef precipitated that we ended up in Mitzrayim. I understand, But we should have had, we could have done kapara this a long time ago. Why now, Davka, at the time of Chanukah HaMishkan, and then all of a sudden we see fit to do a vidoy, a complete vidoy in the national, you know, in the nation of Klal Yisrael and all of our national sins of the Chet Ha'ego, and we include Mechiras Yosef. What's it doing here at the beginning of the Chanukah HaMishkan? So Zalman Sorotkin has a fantastic idea. He says, well, because what was it? What happened at the time of Chanukah HaMishkan? Not only did we get this, you know, central place of serving the Ribbono Shel Olam, but it formalized these different categories and classes within Klal Yisrael. You had Kohanim who were treated one way and did the service of the Beis HaMikdash. And this Yisrael, who might be a grace of Talmud Chacham and a wonderful person, is just disqualified from doing the service of the Beis HaMikdash. He did nothing wrong. He wasn't born a Kohen. Doesn't matter. He's not permitted to do the service of the Beis HaMikdash. And it's not fair. And nonetheless, that's the understanding that we have, that each person has their role and they're tafkid, and it might not be the same as somebody else. The Kohens are also to find the Beis HaMikdash. This guy's role is to be a Talmud Chacham. This guy's role is to do this. And the Mishkan formalized this class system, not one better than the other, but different, equal but different, that was formalized by the Mishkan. And it was that that the Shvatim couldn't handle. Yosef told him a dream, you're going to end up bowing down to me when I'm a king. The Shvatim hated him because of that. Why should we bow down to you? They couldn't stand that. So that's ultimately why they ended up speaking negatively about him, and that's ultimately what led to the animosity and the Mechiras Yosef, and that's how he ended up in Mitzrayim. But it was because they couldn't handle this equal but different. So here comes the Mishkan, it formalized this, institutionalized that some people are doing the Avodah and some people not, some people are going to treat it one way, some people are going to treat it the other way, some people have access to certain mitzvahs and some people don't. This equal but different. And that was very difficult for the Shvatim to accept. So therefore now the Mishkan, when this is being formalized, we saw fit to have a reminder, let's not make the same mistake at the time of the Mechiras Yosef, we can't handle that. So this is discussed over here by this Gemara. The V'kidash, the Kohen is treated differently. He's given to bench, he's given to the first Aliyah, the best piece in the, you know, money yafarishan, he's given the best piece of the meat or whatever. You have to give him all these nice things. So what's Darkei Sholem? Well, then we have to give the Kohen the first Aliyah. Of course you have to give the Kohen the first Aliyah. It's a halacha. What do you begin Darkei Sholem? So he said, you're right. Amalei Doraisa, Umevnei Darkei Sholem. Is it Din Doraisa? And there is Darkei Sholem to give everybody their say, to give everybody their chance. Okay. However, the problem is, we do give the Kohen the first Aliyah. Most shuls do that. We'll discuss later on the shuls that don't. Most shuls do that. But what's the, you know, at most of the time. But what about all the other things? We give them to bench sometimes, right? You know, if we're in a halachic mood, we say, is there a kain here? You know, but otherwise not. And, we don't give them the first. I don't think there's a separate line in the cafeteria for kahanim, you know. Lito mani yafarishin. Do they get to register earlier than everybody else? I don't think so. So what's going on? How are we not so nizhar in this halacha, perhaps as we should be? That's the kasha of the Magen Avraham Tzarchi, and Lama Ein Nizhar Nachshav L'Hakim HaKoyen L'Chol HaNachmi V'Yesh Yizor B'Zeh Me'ach Shadei Raisahim. So Magen Avraham suggests one possibility. V'Evshar De'Ein Anu B'Kiyim B'Yechusei Kakuna. Maybe we don't know who is a Kohen. Because after all, how do you establish someone as a Kohen? Because his father told him? Is that good enough? So look over here, the Rambam says, Perichav Hilch Sur B'Yelach Aleph. They all have a chazaka that they're kohanim. Fine. But the Rambam says, how do you become a kohen miyuchas? Ezo kohen miyuchas? We assume that they're kohanim. They're assumed kohanim. But who's a kohen miyuchas? Kol she'idu lo shnei edim, shu kohen ben pleni ha-kohen, u pleni ben pleni ha-kohen, ad ish she'ein tzarech bedikav hu kohen she'shimas agavi mizbech. So you have to have ben achar ben, two witnesses, you know, we have to know that he's the son of this one, who's the son of this one, to a Kayan Ishmi Piyish, who's a Kayan who served in the Beis HaMikdash. And at the time, right after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't something that's, you know, that was ridiculous. You could have had someone who in your ancestry served in the Beis HaMikdash. So if you have such a person, you have witnesses who attest to that, then you're Kayan Miyuchas. Otherwise, you're Kayan Chazaka. So if he's only a Kayan Chazaka, you know, he's assumed to be a Kayan. But we don't, he's not a Kayan Miyuchas. As the Rambam describes it, so perhaps, says the Magen Avraham, that's why we're not as nizar in this halacha, perhaps, you know, we might have been, even though it is a din midday rice, v'kidashta, l'chol davar shebikdusha, you should give the first to the kohen, maybe because we're not really sure they're kohanim. In fact, the Rambam says that we're not supposed to give challah and truma to a kohen, challah nowadays. So challah chutzlars can be eaten by Yisrael. So we don't even bother giving it. We burn it, but we don't give it to the kohen. Why don't we give truma challah to the kohen? So some suggest, Rama already seems to imply that that's because we're not even sure they're real kohanim. Oftentimes after a pidyon haben, what happens? The kohen gives the money back. Why is the kohen giving the money back? Usually the kohen gives the 5 shekels back. He doesn't have to. And if you say to him, I'm only giving this to you, having a mind that you're going to give it back, that's no good. And Matan Manasseh Hafsa is not good enough for the pidyon haben. It compromises the gift that you're giving to the kohen. But oftentimes the kohanim give it back. That's protocol. They give it back to the father. Why? So perhaps it's because, some achranim suggest, because we're not even really sure you're kohanim. A kohen miyuchas is someone who has testimony all the way back to the time of the Mizbeach, that his father served in the Beis HaMikdash. You don't have that. So kohanim chazaka, what's the status of kohanim nowadays? They're assumed to be kohanim. Maybe they're all suffolk. Therefore, when it comes to DNA mamonis, we don't let them keep the money. We don't give challah or truma to the kohen. Because we're not really sure that they're kohanim in the first place. And the Magen Avraham says that's perhaps what we're saying, on that we don't treat the kohanim in the proper way. Perhaps that's what our Gemara is discussing over here. How could he say this to Rami Bar Chama and ask him to get his coat and his hat? How could Rami Bar Chama, I'm sorry, say this to Rav Chisda to get his coat and his hat before he told him the Mishnah? He's being Meshamish B'Kohen. He's using the Kohen as a servant. How are you allowed to do that? You have to be Mekadosh the Kohen. So the answer might be, we're not even really sure that they're Kohanim in the first place. They might only have the status of Kohanim Chazaka. In fact, they say over from the Vilna Gaon, I think, he was a Kohen. He was a Bechor. And he was constantly being paid to himself over and over again, because he wasn't sure that the Kohen that he gave the Pinyin HaBen to was a real Kohen. Until he got to the Rappaports, and then he stopped giving. He assumed the Rappaports were some Kohanim Yuchas, or some story like that. Yeah.
Can we say the opposite, like, for the Magen Avraham? The meaning that, like, his svara is that we don't know who is a real Kohen Miyuchas.
Yeah.
And therefore, like, since it's a real Kohen Chazaka, then.
Right.
So, but why can't we say, but if we're not sure if it's a subject that they're all Kohen Miyuchas, that they're all, that we should, you know, bestow the honors on them instead of not?
No, because you want something from me. What do you want? You want my challah. Right. You want my truma. You want my pidyon haben. You want my kavod. Hamaytzi mechavero olivaraya. You want something from me? Prove it.
You're not using that stuff anyway. Like, we're just burning it or throwing it away.
Covet is money. Covet is money. People pay for covet all the time. You want something from me? Prove it. I'll give it to you. I'm happy to give it to you. Prove to me that you're a kohen. You're right. I'll do you one better. I don't think we assume like this Magen Avraham. There were those who suggested this throughout the generations, that our kohanim are suffolk kohanim. They usually suggest the lakula. As a reason to allow them, because inevitably when a kohen gets divorced, he falls, or, you know, or even if he's not, you know, old or single, inevitably falls in love with a grusha. This is like, it happens all the time. It's unbelievable how many kohanim end up falling in love with grushas, and then all of a sudden they want to undo their kahuna. We know I was never a kohen, my father said it, but who knows, you know, one of these situations. So oftentimes people start, well, we're only kohanim chazaka anyway, that's how it usually comes up, this discussion. No one's really fighting over challah and truma and pidyon haben money. But I don't think Rav Poskim assume, we assume that the status of our kohanim are vade kohanim. He can't start making sveikas to allow a kohen to start marrying a grusha or a chalutza or some other situation. Why? Because look, we make, what are we, kohen duchins? You make a bracha? Kohanim make a bracha? Yeah, kohanim make a bracha. If they weren't real kohanim, or they were at least a safek, they should make a bracha. Safik brachas lakula. When you give pidyon haben to the kohen, you make a bracha, of course. Make a bracha. So how can you make a bracha? It should be safik brachas lakula if we're not sure if they're real kohanim. So that's why many argue we must assume that they really are kohanim, bizman hazeh. And they have the status of as a kohen vadeh. How could they have a status as a kohen vadeh? The Rambam told us, Ezu kohen miyuchas. What's considered to be a kohen miyuchas? Kol she'idu lo shnei edim. You need two witnesses to testify to the fact that his father served in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the only, that's the standard to be a kohen miyuchas. So perhaps the answer is, because the Rambam says over here, Perachav v'chus yisur b'yaloch yud gimel, the following. Misha bab is man hazeh. A guy comes nowadays, v'am a kohen ani. He says, I'm a kohen. Oyser atzman begrusha v'zayin v'chalola. He cannot marry a grusha v'zayin v'chalola. V'einu matam l'meisim. What would you say though? Guy comes, his own admission, he says, I'm a kohen. Are we going to believe him? Yes. Why? Because Shavi Anafsha Chaticha Disur. We believe a person about himself when it's Lechumra. Fine. Let's say the guy marries a Grusha. and we live at a time where we administer capital punishment. Are we going to give a malchus based on this? Malchus requires usually how many witnesses to give malchus? A guy wears shatnez, and we warned him about it. How many witnesses do you need in order to give malchus?
Two
witnesses. How can you give a malchus over here? The guy only told us he's a kohen based on his own admission. So we're going to believe him. Yeah, well, you're us to marry a grusha who's made of a chalala, but how are we giving a malchus based on that? So the Rambam explains the Parak Tzayin of Hilchos Sanhedrin, Halacha Vav. He says the only time you need two witnesses to administer malchus is when we're discussing an action. You need two witnesses to testify to the action. But what about to establish someone's status? Let's say we all agree he married a grusha. There's no doubt about that. You have two witnesses and the guy married a grusha. There's no doubt about that. There's two witnesses. You need two witnesses to say that the guy wore shatnez to minister malchus. The shaila is this shatnez or is this not shatnez? Is this guy a kohen? Is this guy not a kohen? That, says the Rambam, you don't need two witnesses for. Even less than two witnesses will suffice to establish the status. Now we're discussing an action, but to establish the identity of something. Says the Rambam, Eino tzar shnayedim lo malchus, al b'shasha asa maisa, b'shas maisa, aval ha'isar atzmoy be'edach ha'ryuchzak. When we're discussing the status, the identity of somebody, vis-a-vis a later action, that's based on one aid. So therefore, concludes the Rambam, Ketan, Amar Eidach Ar-Chelev, Kalayos is that. One aid comes and he says, this is Machalas Asuras, Kalay HaKerem, or this Kalay HaKerem, which is prohibited. Grusha is Zayna Ishazu, or this woman is a Grusha. V'ocha, or Bo Ba'edem, Achash Hishra, Bo Ha'red Zaloike. You get Malchus, as long as there were two witnesses testified to the action, even though the status, the identity of this item was only established based on one witness. How could this be the case? So the answer, I think many Achronim explain, is the following. Makes sense. When a guy comes and he says, Lamashal. A guy hits his father. What's the punishment for hitting your father? Maka of the imoy. How do you know it's the guy's your father? We're going to do Gemara in Chulin next year. Right! You never know. Mother, you know. Father, you don't know. We assume that a wife is only having relations with her husband. Rav be Eloi Sachar Abal. Sometimes that's a good assumption, sometimes not. But Rav be Eloi Sachar Abal. Do we know with absolute certainty? No. Can you administer Mises Beisdin based on a Rav? Can we kill somebody based on circumstantial evidence, which has, you know, an 80% chance of being correct? No. You need witnesses. You need conclusive proof. But Dina ain't Hokum in a fush. It's Akhar Haroiv. You can't administer capital punishment based on a roiv, based on circumstantial evidence. A guy walks into a room with a knife. They walk in after him and they see a corpse, a body on the floor. Do we kill the guy? You know, even though it's the guy, in all likelihood, that no one else is in the room. No one else could have come into the room. We see a guy with a bloody knife and there's a corpse, a cadaver over here, you know. Do we kill the guy based on that circumstance? In American courts, they would. In halacha, not. We need absolute certainty. In holchem and afashas achar haroiv. So how can we kill any person who hits his father? How do we know with certainty that he's his father? In holchem and afashas achar haroiv. Hear the kasha? Lam de shakasha. So Shev Shmaitz explains the following. You said, I'll get to your question in a second. Shev Shmaitz of the Ksoyz HaChoshin explains because. Why? We establish, based on this roiv, that he's your father in other areas of halacha. Do you have to be mechavid him? Without a doubt, because of the roiv. You know, there's all the halachas that have to do with this person being your father are established based on the roiv. Once his identity is established based on the roiv, the action of hitting the father, so as long as you have two witnesses on the action, we could put this guy to death, Mises Beisdin. Two witnesses only required vis-a-vis an action, not to establish someone's status. That could be established because once it has traction in one area of halacha, it can have traction in another area of halacha as well. So since it relates to kibud aviyim, we're going to relate it over here to makah av aviyim or mos yumas. So too over here, many achronim argue, even though you're right to establish this person as a kohen, maybe you would have required two witnesses, but once we're going to accept his status as a kohen chazak is valid with regards to nesias kapai and with regards to other areas with regards to marrying a grusha, zayin of a chalala is going to be believed to prohibit himself to marry these women. His status is established in one area of halacha. Now we can administer Mises Beis, and as long as there's two witnesses on the act, you know, in his actions later on, it's established vis-a-vis all areas of halacha. So these kahanim, even though they don't necessarily have witnesses to the fact that the father did avoid in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash, these Kohanim, you know, since we believe them in one area of Halacha, we're going to have to believe them in another area of Halacha as well. So presumably the Kohanim do have a status of a Kohen Vada. Yeah, John, what do you want to say?
Do we know who the mother is based on witnesses of birth?
Yeah.
So there has to be witnesses of birth, or at birth is just the mother?
Rare. I mean, usually there was a midwife or something. And that's what the Gemara says. A midwife is believed. We saw that because there's no one else who's there. Who else is going to be there in the birthing room? So just like we had the woman who's believed if a fight breaks out in the Ezra's Nashim. Remember we had that case? Because there's no one else who's there. So to in the birthing room, Achaya is believed, the Gemara says in Kiddushin, because who else is there? You're not going to have two Yankon Beryl in Shmerel's wife's birthing room, hopefully, right? So who's going to be there to testify if not the Achaya? If not the midwife. Okay, so however, since the status of the Kohanim is established in one area of Halacha, we presume it would carry through to other areas of Halacha as well. And the Kohanim have the status as a Kohen Vadai. So it's not really going to help us in terms of the Kasha, the Magen Avraham asked, how is it that we don't give Kohanim their due respect? He's supposed to not only give him the first Aliyah, Leftayach Rishon, Levarach Rishon, Litomana Yafa Rishon, given the best of everything. Magen Avraham says, we're not as nizer as perhaps we should be. So it can't be the state of the reason because the Kohanim don't have the status of a Kohen Vadai. They do. They do. Since their status is established in one area of Halacha, we're going to carry that through. That has traction for other areas of Halacha as well. Why is it then that the Kohen returns the Pidyon HaBen? Why do they do that? So Chazon Ish has a different explanation. He says, because let's say a guy walks into town and he says, I'm a Kohen. Do we believe him? Yes. He can't marry a Grusha and a Zayin and a Chalala. So he said, well, once he's believed in one area of Halacha, we're also going to give him the first Aliyah. He's believed in one area of Halacha, he's going to have traction in another area of Halacha. But what will this do? If there's a financial benefit here, this will prompt people to present themselves as Kohanim, even though they're not. You know, the first Aliyah in Shul, no one's running really to fake it to get the first Aliyah. But if there'd be a financial side here, he was going to collect Pidyon HaBen, people might be tempted to lie. So therefore, says the Chazon Ish, nowadays that we're going to believe people based on their, you know, how they present themselves, we want to discourage people from doing it for financial reasons. So he says over here, Oizvav, Yeshlemet, the Nehidim is man, the Hoy Levim, Yuchas, Mermuchom, Shein Oysen, Lo Maisar, Piyasma, Ve'inna, Shein Levim, Yuchas, Roy Litno. So since nowadays these are the best that we have, we give it to them. What we're going to do is end up nowadays that we don't really have Yuchasim, as a person presents himself, he's going to be believed. He's believed in one area of Halacha, be believed in other areas of Halacha, but we're going to encourage people to lie. Hilkach, Kevin Shevi, Adenu, Hamid, Hadas, since we can't establish who is a Kohen, who's not a Kohen, without, you know, there's no investigations we can do, so we're going to have to go based on the way they present themselves, we have to return the money. So that's what the Kohen, Chazon Ish says, that's what we have the minute to return the money. Okay, but either way, most Kohanim who present themselves nowadays, we're going to assume he's a Kohen, with Torah's Vada, you can't start making sfeikis to allow him to marry a Grusha or something like this. And we assume Kohanim have the status of a Kohen Vada, not like the Magen Avraham suggested. Rav Moshe brings up one interesting case. Rav Moshe says, let's say the guy is not religious. And he grew up not religious. But he has a tradition from his father, he's a Kohen. You have, probably true like that.
It's like they have on like the graves.
Let's say the father wasn't religious. Well, it was a grandfather. The grandfather wasn't religious. So who really knows, you know, to a non-religious Jew, the fact that he's a Kohen or whatever, he doesn't know. Maybe there was a Gioris who married him. No one's paying attention over here. So we don't really know. Kohen, no Kohen, it's hard to know. So Moshe says, if there was a religious relative in the past they could trace it back to who was established that he believed he was a Kohen, and we could trace the lineage until now, then Moshe says he has a status as a Kohen. Moshe says, though, if we can't find a religious relative to attest to the fact that they were Kohanim, so then we would not presume he has the status of a Kohen, even if he has such a tradition. So sometimes they go all the way back to the cemeteries. If you could find Nesias Kapayim on the Matseva, so sometimes that can be helpful in determining whether or not the person was a Kohen. But you have to know what a Kohen is. But either way, most people present themselves now as Kohanim. We're going to assume they have the status of Kohen Vadai, and you can't start making, kvetching Sveikis over here to allow him to marry his girlfriend who's a Grusha That's not no. So, but now we're left holding the bag on the other issue. How is it that we're not as machbid about being makabe the kohanim as perhaps it might have seemed that we should be? So perhaps it's because of a comment, a discussion that's had in the Hagos Mordechai. Look over here, Oizayin. Hagos Mordechai says in Masechta Zgiyin, on that Gemara that you're supposed to give all the nice things to the kohen. Tells him Maisa. Maisa, b'kohen shiyotzak maima yidei Rabbeinu Tam. There was a kohen who poured water on the hands of Rabbeinu Tam to wash the tilos yadayim or something. V'hikshalo Talmud. And the Talmud asked him, Hashaninu b'Yushalmi, is the Talmud Yushalmi? Hamishtamish b'koyin mo'al. Commenting on this pasuk, v'kidashto, kislechum o'kechum akrivi, you have to give him the first of everything. Not only do you have to give him the first of everything, you can't use a koyin for personal service. So that's why our Gemara is so problematic. How could Rami Barchama ask Rav Chisda to get his hat and his jacket to make a tie for him? He's being mishtamish b'koyin. Mishtamish b'koyin is more. You have to give him the first, the nice of everything. You can't use him as a personal servant. How did Rabbeinu Tam use this Talmud, who was a koyin, to wash his hands? Veheishiv loy. What did Rabbeinu Tam? So this guy was a nunnik, yeah? But the Talmud was asking Rabbeinu Tam, Taka, how is this munter? Veheishiv loy. Ein bohem kedusha bizman hazeh. The kohanim have no kedusha nowadays. The Kaimalam Bigdayam Alem Kedusha Alem. When they're doing the service in the Beis HaMikdash, they have Kedusha. If they're not doing the service in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim lose their special status. V'ilolo. Wow, that's an interesting statement. So Kohanim nowadays, you're not wearing your fancy robes, even if he's wearing the Chief Sephardi Rabbi, you know, robe, it doesn't matter. Nothing special. V'hiksha. What's it, the Talmud answer on Rabbeinu Tam? Im ken komini kedusha lo levehu. Let him marry let the guy marry a kusha. If he doesn't have the status of a kohen unless he's wearing the big day kahuna, let him marry a kusha. V'shasik Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam was quiet. V'heishiv Rabbeinu Peter. That was his name, Peter. V'heishiv Rabbeinu Peter. Dinehi de yeshbem kedusha yachal limcho. This is one of the rides, by the way, about Jewish names. Important to note, Rabbeinu Peter, Rabbi Maisha discusses this. But the Nehi, the Yeshbem Kedusha, Yacholimcho. Even though they do have Kedusha, the Kain could be Meichel, and here the Kain was Meichel on his Kedusha in order to wash the hands of Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, so Rabbeinu Peter clearly holds, Mechila works when it comes to this halacha. Yes, it's true, Mishamish B'Kain Mo, you can't use a Kain for personal service. You're supposed to give him the best, the first of everything. But if the kohen is Michael, then it's permitted. Ah, that opens up a whole new avenue to discuss. For a minute, does Rabbeinu Tam agree?
I'm clear. No.
Hard to know.
No, because Rabbeinu Tam is saying that the kohen does have kedusha and he can be mocha, but Rabbeinu Tam said right off the bat that the kohen don't have kedusha.
Yeah, but then he asked them, we can't understand Rabbeinu Tam literally, because no one's going to say a kohen nowadays can marry a grusha.
Right.
So what did he mean? And why was he quiet?
Why not the conversation?
And why was he quiet? Yeah.
Why don't we say the... Don't we have, like, an Indian elsewhere, I'm forgetting exactly where, that, like, Talmud Chacham, like, sometimes gets precedence over even Kohanim?
Okay, we're going to get to that, halacha, but what's your...
Meaning, like, well, like...
Ah!
Like, if it's, like, someone who's just, like, you know, some random person who, like, you know, he doesn't know, wants to wash Rabbeinu Tam's hands, and he said, okay.
Meaning, it wasn't even that it was Michael, this was a covered for him.
Yeah, because Rabbeinu Tam's Rabbeinu Tam.
Right. So that's what the Taz suggests. Taz suggests, like you, that Rabbeinu Tam made up this reason to be doich of the Talmud. Rabbeinu Tam really held, look, I'm not being mishamish b'koyin, I'm letting him wash my hands. L'mashal, Reb Chaim Kanievsky comes, visits our yeshiva. We could probably auction off this chus to wash Reb Chaim Kanievsky's hands. You could probably do such a thing. Yeah? Maskin? You would pay. Me too, right? Okay, fine. So, it's who's benefiting who here? Rabbeinu Tam... But he didn't want to say that. Rabbeinu Tam didn't want to say, it's a zchus to wash my hands. Can you imagine such a... So Rabbeinu Tam made up a reason. He said, this is all the Taz. He says, because nowadays, Kahanim are not special. So the Talmud asked him, yeah, the Kahanim are not special. Let him marry a Grusha. Rabbeinu Tam got caught in his lie. He only made this reason up to be Deich of the Talmud. It wasn't true. But he didn't want to say that it's a skos to wash my hands. Okay? That's the Taz. And Rabbeinu Tam really disagrees with Rabbeinu Peter. Why did Rabbeinu Tam say because he was Meichel? Mechila doesn't work. The Kohen can't be Meichel. If it's a schus, because he's a great Talmud Chacham, oh yes, okay. Then it's a covet. It's not a service. It's a covet. But says Rabbeinu Tam, but Mechila, generally speaking, wouldn't work. Yeah, Benjamin, what am I saying?
Are there certain things certain things that like Kohanim have that are viewed as like a higher level, usually supposed to like a lower level, meaning like would Grusha be considered like such a high thing in Kohanim, where the fact that if he would allow him to marry a Kohen, like it looked bad as opposed to just like, okay, I'm not good at wearing this, but okay, I'll try to figure it out. Basically what I'm saying, would the Isser of not being allowed to marry a Grusha be on a higher level than letting a Kohen?
No, it's all or nothing.
It's all equal.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So I don't have a question.
All or nothing. They might be stemmed from two different things. We're going to explore that possibility in a second. But yeah, but it's usually assumed to be all or nothing. Either you're a Kohen or you're not a Kohen. You can't be a Kohen for certain halakos.
Like we mentioned, a bunch of different cases.
And if Mechila works for one, it should work for the other. And if one applies today, the other should not. I mean, if one doesn't apply, the other shouldn't apply.
But
it
like
should go together.
Having a separate line for Kohanim would be the same status of like a Kohen not being allowed to marry. Would
yeah.
Would they be on the same level?
Status comes with responsibility. Right. In halacha, yeah. So yeah, increased status and increased benefits, but that comes with increased isurim. One is probably a reflection of the other. Yeah. That's how
I would say
importance is expressed in halacha, not by the car that you drive, but the number of isurim you have to keep. That means you're really special. You have more isurim, it's because you're even more special. Yeah. But obviously, Rabbeinu Peter held mechila does work over here. The kohen can be meichel and allow himself to be used as a servant, and certainly be meichel on his other zechusim as a kohen. What about Rabbeinu Tam? So many assume Rabbeinu Tam also agreed a kohen could be meichel. This is the pshat of the Bach and the Aruch HaShulchan and others. They assume that Rabbeinu Tam meant like this. Rabbeinu Tam meant, of course he was assuming, it was obvious that he was meichel, and mechila works. What he meant to say is, b'zman shebigdeyim aleihem, you can't be meichel. If the kohen will be wearing the big day kahuna, he can't be meichel. How can he be meichel? You're wearing the big day kahuna. When he's not wearing the big day kahuna, it's then that mechila works. That's when mechila works, when he's not wearing the big day kahuna. All he meant to say is, not that he's not a kohen, of course he still can't marry a grusha. No, that's why when the Talmud asked that, he's like, you don't understand anything, so he didn't bother responding. Of course he can't marry a grusha. It's not that he's not a kohen, he's not wearing his big day kahuna. What it means is, when he's wearing the big day kahuna, mechila doesn't work. But when he's not wearing the big day kahuna, that's when mechila would work. So bizmancha ain't big day malayim, only meant that mechila should work, but of course Rabbeinu Peter and Rabbeinu Tam agree. That's what this is based upon. And Rabbeinu Peter was kind of like the Shir assistant. You know, he explained what Rabbeinu Tam meant to say, which was that this whole thing is predicated upon Mechila. That's the Pshat with Aruch HaShulchan. However, the Taz assumes, not so, that Rabbeinu Tam held Mechila doesn't work. And the only reason he was able to use the Talmud to wash his hands is because it was gufa covered for the Talmud. It wasn't that he was using the Kayin, it was the Talmud was using him. And the Taz brings a proof that Mechila does not work when it comes to this halacha, because it's from this very same pasuk that look over here, the Gemara Masechta Zivamis Peches Mebeis derives, Minayin Shem Ratza. If the Kohen wants, says Rashi, to violate Tumas Kohen, he says, I don't want any of this, I don't want this, I don't want to have the restrictions regarding Tuma, I want to go to the cemeteries and the Kivrei Tzaddikim like everybody else, I want to marry a Grusha like everybody else, let me do this, forget, I abdicate my Kohuna. Says Gemara, no. Duff, no. We hit him, says Rashi. The kid show bal karko. You must assume this responsibility. Tamalomer v'kidashto bal karko. Says the Taz, how could it be from the very same pasuk that we darsh and v'kidashto bal karko? We say also learn out that we give all these fancy things to the kohen, and you can't use the kohen for your own personal service. That must also be bal karko. Even if he doesn't want it, we cannot be mocha on his kavod. And we would have to do it anyway. The only thing about Rabbeinu Tam was that it was different. Is that over here was gufa covered for the Talmud to wash the hands of Rabbeinu Tam. We could understand Rabbeinu Tam in a different way, a slightly different way. I don't like any of these pshatim Rabbeinu Tam personally, because it's not what Rabbeinu Tam said. If Rabbeinu Tam, according to the Taz, Rabbeinu Tam made up a reason just to be deich of the Talmud, and when he got caught in his lie, he was quiet. I guess you could say that. He made up a whole fancy reason. When they're wearing the big day kahuna, they have the status of kohen. We're not, and that's why he could use him to wash my hands. And then he got caught in his lie, because then he said, well, why can't he marry a grusha? So he was quiet, but he really didn't want to say it's because it's a covet for him to wash my hands. It's a little odd. And even according to the Aruch HaShulchan, that Rabbeinu Tam agrees with Rabbeinu Peter, and it was all based on Mechila, then why did he say, you know, but he meant to say is he can only be Mocha when he's not wearing the big day kahuna, but Iker Chasim and Haseva, why did he mention Mechila? So perhaps we could suggest that Rabbeinu Tam is distinguishing between two of the aspects of being Mechabit Kohanim. There are certain aspects of the Kidashto that are personal, gratitude that we have to administer to the Kohanim and demonstrate to the Kohanim. But then there are certain halachas that stem from the fact that he's part of a group of individuals. He's a representative of Shevet Levi or Shevet of Kohanim. I mean, because when do you have to be Mechabit the Kohen? When do you have to be Mechabit the Kohen? Typically, v'kidashto, l'chol davar shevikdusha. Whenever it comes, says the Gemara back in Oys Aleph, whenever it comes to Davar Shebikdusha, what does the Davar Shebikdusha typically mean? What does it typically refer to? Something that's done? Bitsibor, public. In public. You know, V'nikdashti, B'soch B'nai Yisrael, is where we derive the Aloch of a minion. When do we typically Mechabi the Kohanim? In Shul. In Shul. So when it comes to those halachas, that's not a personal thing that I owe to this Kohen. That's something that we all have to recognize. There is a shevet of individuals who have dedicated themselves to the service of the Ribbono Shel'Olam and therefore are deserving of our honor. But it's not because this kohen who gets the aliyah, we owe him any personal gratitude. It's that we have to recognize the status of a group of kohanim. And that's what it's all about. The haraya, I'll bring a proof. This is a great kasha. It's a klutz kasha, obviously, but that the Sefer Tiferes Yaakov and Masechtas Gittin is. Tiferes Yaakov is Rabbi Yaakov Gezuntai. Famous Sefer. So he has a classical Sefer, like the Nachos Dovin and Bava Kama, there's the Tiferes Gittin, Tiferes Yaakov and Masechtas Gittin. Yaakov Gezuntai. So he asks, if we have to give the Kohen the first of everything, let's say I have 10 Kohanim in Shul, I should have to give them the first 10 Aliyahs. I owe each Kohen. How can I just take a representative of one and give it to him? We should give them a line of Kohanim, and all of the Kohanim should go before everybody else in line. Why is it only one token Kohen gets an Aliyah, and that suffices? He should get every Aliyah. We should have to give the Kohanim first everything. We should get all of the Aliyahs, and then maybe if there's a scrap left over for the Israelim, we should give it to them. Why is it that it's enough to just give one token Kohen an Aliyah, and that's sufficient? So obviously the answer is, because he's not getting an aliyah on his own personal merits, it's because of what he represents, the shevet that he represents. And he gets an aliyah on behalf of all of the Kohanim, and then we showed respect to the shevet of Kohanim, Shevet Levi. So that's why it's typically only Davar Shebikdusha, when it has to do with public matters, and we're all demonstrating a public debt of gratitude that we have to the Kohanim because they perform the service in the Beis HaMikdash and the status that they represent because of that. However, perhaps what Rabbeinu Tam meant to say is with regards to this halacha in particular of Hamishamish B'Kohen Moyal, you can't use an individual kohen for personal service, even though it's just me and him in the room, and I ask him to put on my shoes, I ask him to get my coat, I ask him to get my hat. That is a personal issue that I have with this kohen. It's not representative of Shevet Kohuna and the status that they have in the eyes of the community of Klal Yisrael and Shul. This is just between me and him. So the Yushalmi that says a Meshamish B'Kohen Mo, you're not allowed to use the Kohanim Says Rabbeinu Tam, that's only when he actually does the service in the Beis HaMikdash himself. Then he's deserving of my covenant. I can't use him. But if he's not wearing the Big Day Kahuna, I don't have a personal debt of gratitude to him. Yes, I have a debt of gratitude to all of Sheva Kuna, and that's why he'll continue to get the first Aliyah, and etc. And he's still a Kain, and he can't marry a Grusha for sure. But says Rabbeinu Tam, when it comes to this halacha, which is unique, because this is a personal debt of gratitude that I have just to this Kain individually, that doesn't apply if he's not wearing the Big Day Kahuna. I think it's a nice mahalach, perhaps you could say, to understand Rabbeinu Tam. But then it would emerge, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that of course Mechila does not work. He didn't go in that route. He took the perspective that it's because this halach has to do with the personal gratitude I have to this Kohen, not to the status of Shevet Kahuna in the eyes of the community. So then, obviously, he would have disagreed with Rabbeinu Peta that Mechila doesn't work. Yeah.
Do we say that when we only show kavod to the Kohanim when we're in a group setting?
Right, but then Yushalmi says that the Mordechai quoted in Brachos, Hamishamish Bekoa and Moel. If you use a Kohen, it's like using Hekdesh. So you see, even in a personal setting, I can't use the Kohen. So I would suggest that giving the Kohen personal respect when we're not in the public eye, that's a personal debt of gratitude I have to each individual Kohen for doing service in the Beis HaMikdash. That Rabbeinu Tam would argue doesn't apply in our times. What does continue to apply is the respect we have to have for the institution of Kohanim. That's why we continue to give them the first Aliyah. That's why he's still prohibited to marry a Grusha, because of what he represents. But that would not apply to the individual halakha of using a Kohen. You understand? Ben, you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when Rabbeinu Tam said, yes, this only applies when he's wearing Big Day Kahuna, didn't mean to say all of the status, all of the ramifications of being a Kohen only apply when he's wearing Big Day Kahuna. It meant this halakha in particular, because this is perhaps a personal debt of gratitude that I have to express to the Kohen. So how do we get around? Well, you know, what's going to be over here? Rami Bar Chama asked Rav Chisda to get his hat and his coat. What could we possibly say? How do we get? How was he able to do this? Hamishamish b'kohen is more v'kidashto. You have to treat him properly with respect. We could say like Rabbeinu Tam, that Rav Chisda wasn't doing. He was an Amora, lived after the Korban Beis Hamikdash. He wouldn't do any service in the Beis Hamikdash. That doesn't apply to him. This halacha of not using a kohen. What else could we say? We could say, you know, from the factor of Chizda was Maskin, he was Merkel. Another possibility we could say is that over here he had the status of the Rebbe. You know, right? So perhaps it was a covet for Rav Chizda to get his coat and his hat. He was about to teach him a halacha. It's as if he was being paid. He wasn't doing this for free. It's not like a service that's done for free. You've got to have a job. You know, of course, the Kohen can have a job, and I can ask him to go get the boxes if he works in a delivery room or in a warehouse. This is a job. He was being paid for it. It wasn't, you know, a free service. All of these possibilities are discussed by the Mishnah Omer. How to understand how Rav Chisda was able to get the coat of Rami Bar Chama. Either it doesn't apply nowadays, like Rabbeinu Tam, or perhaps Rami Bar Chama with the status of a Rebbe, so it was a schus, like, you know, washing the hands of Rabbeinu Tam. Either it was a schus for Rami Bar Chama, or perhaps he was being paid because he got a Mishnah in return. And of course, a Kohen can have a job where he has to be in the service industry. That is not precluded from being. How do we paskin on this issue? So look over here. The Ramah says in Kuf Chav Ches Sif Mem Hey, Ostalish Tamish B'Kohen Afiu B'Zman Hazeh. We don't paskin like Rabbeinu Tam. This continues to apply nowadays. Davi Kamol Behektish Im Lo Mocha Akach. Who's this paskening like? Rabbeinu Peter. It applies nowadays. It's not a personal debt of gratitude after the Kohen. This is also because of what he represents, and therefore it applies even though nowadays, even when he's not doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. But Mechila does work. So if he's Michael, I can use the Kohen, certainly if we just say covered for him to wash my hands, that, you know, to wash Chaim Kanievsky's hands, you use a Kohen, it's still covered for the Kohen. The Mishnah Berurah though goes on, the Yesh Misha Omer, and he quotes the Taz, She'en O'yachol Litim Rishus L'shtamish Boi. The Kohen cannot give Rishus. Mechila doesn't work, like Rabbeinu Tam. Ere'im Ken Yesh Lo Eza Hana. Unless there is some Hana. Like he's being paid. Or like it's a benefit to me to wash the hands because I get a photo op and I'm going to post it on my, you know, page that I wash the hands of the Chaim Knievsky. Now I get followers. You go b'schara, feel b'chinam, radam chafush, chashuv shu chafetz l'shamsho. I want to service him. V'nena mizeh, he enjoys it. Avom ein lo shum anam mizeh ein yacholim chavetov lahachmir l'chachilah. Says the Rama, it's best to be machmir. The Mishnah Berurah, it's best to be machmir, not to use a kain. Unless, even if he's Michael, unless he's being paid, then he can do that for sure. And over here, maybe Rechizda was being paid. He got a Mishnah in return, a Raya, and what better Schaira is there than Torah? He got paid in Torah. Or perhaps it was a cover for him to wash the hands of Rami Barchama. But generally speaking, we should not allow Mechila. This comes up in the following scenario. Look over here. The Gemara says in Masechta Zgin, if you're running shuls, you know, pay attention to what's going on in the shul. So oftentimes you run into a dilemma. You have a big simcha. You have all of a sudden, you know, when it rains, it pours. Five shever brachas in the same Shabbos in the shul. You know, we need every aliyah we can get. And none of the bali simcha are kohanim. Can we ask the kohen, you know, what do you do if there's no kohen here? We could use his aliyah. If the kohen's here, we got to give the kohen, then we got to give the levi. Huh? Can we ask him to step outside? Or can it be meichel? Can the kohen be meichel as aliyah? So Gemara says, "Misach is getting over here in the Testament base." And Bar Lach lo cover the Rabo. Alamisha Golemi man. Let's say the Kohen gets called up for an Aliyah, but he'd rather give it to his Rebbe or to the Rav of the Shul. Harishus biyado. He can be Michael as Aliyah. Va'amar Maralo lo Shana lo Besuda. No, this is only true with regards to benching. Avo beBeis Hakneses the Aliyah and Shul loy. Why not? The Asu Linsuye. You start this, it's going to lead to fighting. No joke. Yeah, no joke. Amar Rav Masna, Hodam Ad Beis HaKnesses Loi. That was just said in Shul, it can't be Michael Zalia. Lo Amar Nal B'Shabbos V'Yomim Tovim D'Shkichi Rabim. Only when people are paying attention in Shul on Yontif. Avo B'Sheni V'Chamishi Tuesday, Thursday, no one's fighting over Aliyahs. No one's fighting over Aliyahs. They're all gone, you know. Everyone's wrapping up their tefillin by now. You know, as they say, it's a famous cynical line. The Mishnah says, Masechtas Avos, 10 miracles occurred in the Beis HaMikdash on a daily basis. Omdim, one of them was, Omdim Tzefufim, when they were standing up, it was very tight. Mishtachavim Revochim, when everyone bowed down, there was tons of room. How could you have such a thing? When we're all standing, it's jam-packed. We're bowing down, there's tons of room. So the answer is, when people are rigid, is the Bali Musa say, when people stand their ground in a relationship, there's no, the houses are big enough for the husband and the wife. Ugh, there's no room in the town for me and you. When everyone gives in, Mishtachavim, you give in, you bow down, you're Meichel, the house all of a sudden opens up. You can have Shalom Bayis, there's plenty of room for more people. Oh. However, the cynical people say, you know this word? Yeah. At Amida, when it's Shmona Esrei, Tzefufim, the shul is packed. By the time you get to Aleinu, Mishtachavim, Revochim, there's plenty of room. So that's often what happens. Shaded Chamishi, everyone left. So who cares? Taisa says, though, that's true. In those days, Taisa says, in our times, the shuls are packed. I'm Rabbeinu Chananu, Hani Mili did who? The Bechal Vitri, the Bemalachlan, everyone's going to work. V'lo Shkichi, Aval Didan, Baruch Hashem, Achshad Dara. B'Shein V'Chamishi, K'mo B'Yomtif. Every Monday, Thursday was like a Yomtif. Oh. Fine. So you can't do this on Tuesday, Monday, Thursday either. So can you be Michael, your Aliyah? Sounds like you're not supposed to do it. However, look over here at the Mordechai. Mordechai says the following. Chuvas harama, shesha'alto mori asher b'kedushas kain. Lefteach rishon, im reshus b'yoda, lead him reshus l'Yisrael, levarach lefan of besuda. Can you give reshus to somebody else? When you're Aliyah, reshus b'yoda, he can be Michael. Benching. But then he quotes Rabbeinu Simcha, De'ein yachol kain litein reshus l'Yisrael levarach ki'im l'rabo l'misha gadol mimenu. Then he quotes Rabbeinu Simcha, he cannot be Meichel. He can only be Meichel if there's a covet to his Rebbe. Look what the Gemara said. The Gemara said, when does Mechila work? Mechila only works if you're giving it to someone who's greater than you, because then it's not Mechila, it's covet talmid chachamim. So Rabbeinu Simcha held, when can you be Michael? You can't be Michael. You can only be Michael if it's to a Talmud Chacham, because then it's not Mechila, it's Kavet Talmid HaChachamim. Rabbeinu Simcha probably held Mechila doesn't work. It's only if you're giving it to someone who's greater. Whereas, it says, Chuvas Maram Osher, Maram, that he asked, Sha'al to my river Rabbi, he held you can't be Michael. The other opinion, the Mordechai held Mechila does work. He said, you want to be Michael benching? Be Michael benching. And the other opinion, Rabbeinu Simcha held Mechila doesn't work. If you want to give it to the Rav, you want to give it to a great Talmud Chacham, to your Rebbe, then Mechila works. Otherwise, because then it's not a halacha of Mechila, it's a halacha of Kavod Talmid Chachamim. But otherwise, Mechila doesn't work. So that was a big shiloh over here with regards to what can you do in regards to if you want to use Kain's Aliyah in Shul. So we said in our times, in our places, Tuesday, you know, Monday, Thursday, even we shouldn't do this. However, Ramesha says, I don't know what happened in the times of Tysus, Ramesha writes in the English, Ramesha, in our times again, we are back to what it says in the Gemara. You want to be Meichel Monday, Thursday, you're not going to lead to fighting. So can you be Meichel? Can the Kain be Meichel? So look over here. The Ramah says, what if it's a Tainus Tzibor and the Kohen is not fasting? So you can't give him an Aliyah by Mincha. It says, Kain b'Tainus Shachar Pesach v'sukkah shekaron v'yichal im ein ha-Kohen Mesana koron v'Yisrael. Koron Yisrael. But v'tov sheyelech ha-Kohen mi-Beis ha-Knesses. It's best that the Kohen leaves the shul. And the Beis Yosef disagrees. Any other lamatzar ha-Kohen lotzes mi-Beis ha-Knesses kishar ha-Kohen moichah ha-Kvodo. They want to lane by a chal. If the Kohen's here, he can't lane. He can't get an aliyah. He's not fasting. Says Beis Yosef, let him be Michael. And Marik held, he can't be Michael. He has to leave the shul. So again, these two positions seem to reflect the two positions we saw in the Mordechai. You want to be Michael, you're benching. You want to be Michael, you're aliyah to somebody else. You can only do it according, you know, to give it to the Rav or to give it to Great Talmud Chacham. There's a Ben Simcha. The other opinion of the Mordechai held, he could be Michael. Here it's a machlokes between the Marik and the Beis Yosef. If you're going to give the aliyah not to a kohen, do we have to ask the kohen to step outside, or can the kohen just be meichel? Sounds like they're arguing about kedu. Does mechila work when it comes to being meichel the first aliyah in shul as well? And that was already two opinions we saw in the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah had two opinions. Does mechila work when it comes to this halacha? And it's unclear how we really paskin. Here the Ramah said we should ask the kohen to leave the shul because mechila doesn't work. But Yosef disagreed. He said, no, you don't have to do that. You could just be say, you know, call up Pliny ben Pliny be mechilas kohen. We have the mechila of the kohen. You don't have to ask the kohen to step outside. There are shuls that will do this on when a crowded Shabbos, or many people have a yard site or something, that they'll ask the kohen to be meichel, but then they also usually ask the kohen to step outside for the brachas. In order to fulfill the opinion of the Marik, the mechila doesn't work. You know, most places don't like doing this because it's why should we ask the kohen to be meichel? It's not really fair. But in a pinch, you can do this. You can ask the kohen to be meichel. Some places will allow the kohen to stay. They do this on Yontif where they want to auction off aliyahs, and you have one kohen there. So the kohen's going to bid $18, and that's it. Right? Someone else can bid $1,800 and buy it for him. But why would you do that? But if you open it up to bidding for the shul, you can get a lot of money. So we could ask the kohen perhaps to step outside and for the benefit of the shul. There are places that will allow that. And there are some who will just allow the mechilas kohen. But that we saw as two opinions. So I think if you're going to do this, you have to ask the kohen to step outside, but it really should not be done gratuitously. Only if there's like an established minhag to do it, or there's a real need to do it. But otherwise, it's something we should avoid. But it's two opinions over here, whether mechila works. So getting back over here, how did Rabbi Chama ask Rav Chisda to get his coat and his hat? Either, you could have said that he only has the status of Kohanim Chazak, it wasn't a real Kohen, but we said most assume that they do have the status of real Kohanim, either because he was Meichel, even if Mechila doesn't work, here was to a Talmud Chacham, was to a Rav, that's covered Talmud Chachamim. Maybe he derives some benefit over here, he's being paid through Mishnayos, he was told, a raya to the Shaila that he had. So all of these different possibilities might help us justify that. Okay, Chavra, Mishnah tomorrow, there's a Taisus over here, Chafa Mebeis, the top, which is really going to open up this whole topic and will help to understand and put it into perspective. Chavra.